remember there was a time in your life when that precious commodity was not afforded to you. The access was blocked. The door of heaven was barred. But through the shed blood of Jesus, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, the access has been gained. We have gained access into His presence through the blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad of that? It's a wonderful thing to talk to the Lord. We've been talking about knowing the ways of the Lord. I want to direct your attention once again, and this may be a two-part message. Actually, just this phase of it. But I don't want to give you too much, because I really want you to think and really chew on what I'm going to say to you this morning. Take it home and digest a little bit. Meditate on it. It'll change your life. I'm on a quest, brethren. Your pastor's on a quest. I want you to join the quest with me. What's that quest, Pastor? Look, if you would, and verse number 13 of Exodus 33. Moses said, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way." That's my quest. You say, "Well, preacher, I know the Lord's way." Well, I know some of it. I want to know more of it. I want to know more of the Lord's way. Hold your place here. I'm going to just read a couple of passages of Scripture to you. I've had a few people to turn to Psalm 73. I've had a few people to text me some Scripture, and I want to share them with you. A few people in the congregation. I believe there's some other people on this quest. The Lord's way. I tell you, if we could get in the Lord's way. Now, some of us are in the Lord's way, but in the wrong way. Some of us are in the Lord's way, and we need to get out of His way. But I'm speaking to you this morning about the Lord's way. His way that is directly connected to His word and to His will. His way that wants to fulfill His purpose for my life and your life. His way will not be found accidentally, haphazardly. You don't stumble upon the Lord's way. Occasionally, we stumble upon the Lord's works. You may walk outside on a starry field night and look up, and God may dawn upon your heart, "I did that. I did that. He made the stars also." We may stumble upon some of the works of God, but now the ways of God are to be sought after. Intentionally, purposefully, carefully. Okay? The reason a lot of people are living subpar, below standard, unrealized, purposefully Christian lives is because we have become satisfied with the works of God and we are not determined to know the ways of God. The works of God we have seen do not necessarily bring tranquility. The works of God do not necessarily bring stability. The ways of God do. The ways of God bring tranquility and serenity. Rest. Rest. In Psalm 73, one of my favorite psalms, for years been my favorite, that's changing to Psalm 103 quickly. Psalm 23 also, but here in Psalm 73, what a wonderful psalm this is. And I talked to you about this last week. The psalmist has seen the way, the works of God. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1, 2, and 3. Truly, God is good to Israel. You see that in Psalm 73? I want you to see this. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, in other words, I realize God's good. Especially when your heart is clean and you have that proper relationship with God, he said in verse 1. He said, but now as for me, he said, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He said, I'm going to tell you about this past experience. I want you to take very close note to the past tense verbs in verse number 2. My feet were, not are. You see that? He said, I'm going to tell you about something that took place some time ago. What took place, Asaph? He said in verse number 3, he said, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I saw the works of God, and it just didn't sit well with me. It left me with questions. When all we see are the works of God, it can do this. Now, I'm not pleased in this series. Don't you leave this series of messages and think, well, you know, shouldn't we praise God for his works? Absolutely. Praise God for his works. But don't be satisfied with just his works. God has more. God wants to reveal his works, but he also wants us he wants to make known his ways. Remember Psalm 103? He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel, his works. Right? So Moses got to see his way. Do you know God's way? See, I know some of them. Did you go home this past week as I asked you to and write down some of the ways of God? I hope that you did. Look, if you would, in Psalm 73 in verse number 17. He said, you know, I was kind of questioning things. I was unstable in some areas until, are you looking? Verse 17, I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. He said, when I went to the sanctuary, I seen some ways of God. And God made it known to me why he does some of the things that he does. See, when you know the ways of God, he gives you some insight into why he does some things that he does. Just to see the works of God in themselves, wonderful thing to behold. But sometimes it can really raise some questions. And I think if you would be honest with yourself, you would say, yeah, you're right, preacher. Look at Psalm 77. Would you look there just a few pages over? Brother Philip sent me this. And I want you to look in Psalm 77 in verse number 13. Thy way, Psalm 77 verse 13, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. You see, that's what Psalm 73 said. The more that I hear God's word, the more that I'm in God's presence, the more that I'm in his sanctuary, the more that I am in his presence, his ways are made known to me, and it's helping me to understand why God does what he does. It's helping me to know more than just what God does. It's helping me to understand who God is. Can I tell you, there's a lot of Christians, and listen, and I mean people that are saved. I'm not judging people. I've been a pastor for 37 years. And I've tried to make it my mode of operation not to judge people based on appearance or conversation. It's hard for all of us. But in these 37 years, I've wondered, what is it with folks that just can't get it? Well, it's because so many people know his works and don't know his ways. It's his ways that help us to get it. And that's what I want you to see. You say, preacher, have you arrived? I'm a long way from it. I told you, I'm on a quest. I've got a taste of some of his ways. And I'll never be satisfied with just his works again. At least I pray by the grace of God that I will not be. Look, if you would, in Psalm 25. Then we're going to go back to Exodus. Psalm 25. I preached this psalm. It's probably been a couple of years ago. I preached through this psalm, Psalm 25. The psalmist got it. And this is where we're going to kind of springboard into, how can I know the ways of God? It's not just enough to talk about them. It's not just enough to read about them. It's not just enough to preach about them. It's just not enough to hear them preached about. How can you, how can I, how can we know the ways of God? I'm going to share that from the scripture. But before I do, I want you to notice that David is asking the same thing that Moses asked. Can I tell you, all the great heroes of the faith, all those that have done great accomplishments for God, understood what I'm preaching to you about these Sundays about the ways of God. Notice what David said here in Psalm 25. Look at verse number 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. God, show me. Show me your ways. You think David saw the works of God? You think when David was laying out on that knoll, looking up into the star-filled sky, and wrote Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You think he saw the works of God? I think he did. Amen? You think David saw the works of God? He did. But David realized something, brethren. He realized, God, I know there's more. Look what he said in verse 3 one more time. 4, I'm sorry. Show me thy ways, O Lord. God, I've seen your works. I want to know your ways. That's my quest. Could I ask you to take out a piece of paper and something to write with? I want to give you some thoughts on some biblical truth as we turn back to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. You say, well, it was in 33. I know. Turn to Exodus 34. I'm going to give you some words. I want you to write them down. I want you to go home. I want you to look them up. And I want you to meditate on them. Okay? I want you to meditate on these ways of God. You see, if you're in Exodus 34, if it's on the same page, there in Exodus 33, what Moses does is he says, God, I want you to show me your way. And God said, I'm going to show you my way, Moses. Now, when do you get to the place to where you really want to know God's ways? Well, I'm not going to talk about experience here. I'm going to talk about scriptural truth. I could tell you my experience, but, you know, experience is change from person to person, from event to event. But the truth never does change. So I'm going to give you some Bible here, and I want you to listen carefully. So what is Moses doing? He's saying, God, I've seen your works. I've seen what you can do. Yeah, I know that you can give us that land. And this is what's happening here. I know you can give us a land that flows with milk and honey. I know you can provide an angel to lead the way. God, I know you'll bless us. You deliver us out of Egypt. Amen. You set us free. You liberated us. I know you can part the Red Sea. I know you can feed us in the wilderness. I know you can prepare a table in the wilderness. Amen. God, I know you can do all these things. That's your works. But God, I just believe there's more to you than that. And Moses got on a quest, brethren. And he said, I want to know more than that. I want to see your ways. I want to know your ways. And then he said, God, I want to see your glory. And watch what God told him. And I know I told you to go to chapter 34, but I do want to show you this one thing here in verse number 21. Now this is so important here. This is always just, it's over my head, okay? It's over my head. God told Moses, Moses said, God, I want to know you. And he said, I tell you what, Moses. Look in verse number 21. God told Moses, he said, I tell you what, Moses. I like your attitude. I like the way you're coming after me, son. I like the fact that you want to know me. That you want to know me deeper and more completely. And I'm going to reward that. And I'm here to tell you this morning that he'll reward that in your life and mine too. God is no respecter of persons, brethren. God will reward those that seek after him. Seek me and you shall find me, he said. Come after me, he said. And he told Moses in verse number 21, the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. I have that underlined and highlighted in my Bible. Brethren, I'm here to tell you there's a place in God and many are missing it.
because they're okay with just knowing the works of God. But God made this statement to a man who said, Lord, I see some of your works and I'm wowed by your works, but God, I want to know your ways. I don't want you to just to do stuff for me. I want to get to know you. Now, many people are satisfied, and I'll just say it goes beyond individual life. So many people are okay in their home. So many people are okay with their country, just being blessed. We live in a super abundantly blessed country. Amen. We are super abundantly blessed. Our homes are super abundantly blessed. Our churches. But I pray to God that we at Fellowship Baptist Church, and this is all we can answer for here, brethren, right here. We're it. We're the church that meets at Fellowship Baptist. And I pray to God that we don't get to the place where we say, we've seen your works. We've seen you save people. Thank God for that. Thank God for people that got saved through this ministry. Thank God for people that get baptized through this ministry. Thank God for the mission endeavor. Thank God for the new property. Thank God for what he's done here. But without God's presence, brethren, what would it be? Would we be okay with just what God has done? What if God would have told us what he told Moses? Fellowship Baptist Church, go on to that new property. I thought about this past week. Go on to that new property. Build that new building. Expand your ministries. Enlarge your coast. But I'm not going with you. I wonder how many of us would stand up and say, preacher, stand with me. Let's not go over there if God doesn't go with us. Let's stand together, pastor. Let's not go over there. Let's not sacrifice God's presence for God's blessing. Amen. We don't want just the blessing of God. We want the God of the blessing. Yeah. Don't take us over there, God, if you're not going to go with us. As a matter of fact, don't let us just continue to meet here if you're not going to meet with us. Amen. And that's what's happening here. And Moses got God's attention. Can you get God's attention? Write this word down. The first step in finding out God's ways is determination. When you read this, you see Moses was determined. Are you determined? You see, if I'm not careful, I've done it. Probably do it again, and I feel so ashamed to say that, but it's the truth. I'll waver. And I'll get all in and say, God, I want to know your way. God, I want to know your way. And then some things will happen, and maybe my priorities will get out of sort, or maybe my focus will get out of sort. And then I'll have to come back and say, God, I'm sorry. I thought I was all in, but I want to know your way. And I think that's what's happening with Moses. Moses is saying, God, I want to know your way. God, there's a lot at stake here. I'm determined. And God saw that Moses was determined. As a matter of fact, if you go back to chapter number 33, I promise you we're going to get in 34, amen. If you go back to chapter 33, just for a moment, when God told him in verse number 4, when he told them, this is what's going to happen. Notice what the scripture says in verse number 4. When the people heard these evil tidings, are you with me in Exodus 33, verse 4? When the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. But you'll not find one person recorded in the Bible saying, God, show me your way. God, show me your way. They had an emotional response, but it did not lead to a personal responsibility. How often have I had an emotional response and said, you know, I want to know this, or I want to do this, or I want to see this, and yet it just fade away. And here Moses, he showed his determination, and he just kept coming back to God and kept coming back to God until, notice if you would, chapter 33, verse number 15, Moses said to God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He said, God, I'm serious. I'm determined. I don't want to go without you. I want to know your way. I want your presence. I want to know your way. Determination. Are you determined? Are you determined to know God's way? That's where it begins, brethren. As I said, it can't be just, you don't stumble upon this. This is, you don't know God's way by accident. It is something that is predetermined. It's something that you've set your heart and your mind on. I, by the grace of God, am going to know some things about this God that I serve. And Moses said, I want to know. You know, we're talking about a man that just came off the mountain with God. In chapter 32, amen? I hope you've read it. I hope you're following now. You want to know more about God's ways? You want life to take a step forward? You want to gain more meaning, fulfillment, purpose? It's by knowing God's ways. He was determined. I ask God to help me be determined. Are you willing to do that this morning in your own heart? Now, this is between you and God. This was between Moses and God, but God chose to make it known to all of us what Moses' determination was. Moses was determined. Are you determined? Are you determined? God, you mean so much to me that I'm going to make you a priority. Is God a priority in your life? Don't lie to yourself now. Listen, is God a priority in my life? God doesn't have to be a priority in our lives for us to see the works of God. But if I'm going to see the ways of God, God's going to have to take priority in my life. And if you're going to see the ways of God, God's going to have to take priority. I read an article last week, perhaps you've seen it, it's circulating on social media, how that our churches are emptying out. And we can blame it on all kinds of things, but can I just bring it down to where we live? I'm kind of that kind of guy. The reason our churches are emptying out is because God is not a priority to many Christians anymore. God is just an afterthought. He's a God on the shelf. He's a God of crisis. God, I need something. And so we call on him. God, I'm in a bad way. Come and help me. God, show me your works. But there's very few people that are thirsting and hungering after righteousness and saying, God, show me your ways. Not being mean, not being cruel, just being factual. If it hurts your heart, I want you to know it hurts your pastor's heart too. Because sometimes I have to question my very own loyalty. Is God a priority, a real priority to me? Determination. Are you determined? I pray that you are. I pray that you're determined. Time will tell if we're determined. Won't it? Amen. Won't it, brethren? Now you're getting quiet. That means one of two things. God has arrested your heart, or you're halfway asleep. I hope it's the former. Number two, this is where the rubber meets the road. See, I can be determined, but it doesn't end there. That's just the first step. How often have I started out determined to do something and it didn't pan out? I could tell you more stories than I want you to know about times in my life where I said, I'm going to get this done. And as I sit here to this day, it's not done. Even in the things of God. Determination. Number two, write this word down. Preparation. Preparation. Now we're in Exodus 34. Look, if you would. Exodus 34, after God said, there's a place by me, and I want you to get in that place. I'm going to show you some things, Moses. Amen. Moses saw some things too. Amen. Yes, he did. Can I tell you, when you get in the place that God wants you to be in, God will show you some things too.
When I get in the place that God wants me to be in, God will show me some things too. He'll show me his ways. And he'll show you his ways. Preparation. You mean you have to prepare to see God's ways? Well, let's see. So Moses said, show me thy way. And God said, okay, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Look into chapter 34, verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. Look at verse number 4. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up into the Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. What's happening here? Moses is getting ready for something. He's preparing. Brethren, you don't ask God to show you his ways and just sit around and wait on him to unveil it. God has some things he wants me to do. Listen, I'm not ready for God to show me some things. And you're not either. It's going to take some preparation. Some preparation. Did you see what Moses is doing here? He said, God, show me your way. And then God said, okay, I will. But now before I do, there's some things you've got to do. See, what we want, What I want is, God, show me your way, and then sit back and God just give me this manifestation, this revelation. But God said, no, you've got to do some things. Would you write this down in your notes? Look at verse number 2. Be ready. You ready? You ready for God to show you some stuff? Are you ready? He said, be ready in the morning. Be ready. Got to get an early start on it now. Don't wait till the days are gone. Be ready in the morning. Make me a priority. First thing, right? Be ready in the morning. Look at it now. And come up at a certain place. You see the preparation here? It's not accidental. It's not haphazard, brethren. It's not. What do you say, dude? What do you say, church? Are you following along? He said, present yourself. You know God's ways? Here it is. God, show me your way. He said, okay, I'll tell you what I want you to do. Be ready. I'm going to show you. But now you're going to have to be ready. In the morning. And you got to come up to a certain place to meet me. And you got to present yourself. That's what he's saying. This is the man that says, show me the way. And this is God's reply. I'll show you my way. But now you've got to be ready. You've got to prepare. Right? How's your preparation time? Is your heart prepared? Did you prepare for today? Did I? Well, I tell you, we expect our teachers, our preachers, our musicians to prepare. What about us? Are you prepared? How much time did you spend this past week in preparation for today, right now? If you say less than 5 minutes, shame on us. Less than 10 minutes, shame on us. We don't put a whole lot into preparation, do we? Well, see, we just want things to happen. You know what causes that? Not being ugly, not being mean, I'm just being factual. You know what causes us to do that? We are so used to seeing God's works. There's just not a whole lot of preparation in that. But now to see God's ways, it's going to take some preparation. And Moses has seen a lot of God's works. And I want you and I to see God's ways. Do you want to see God's ways? It's here, brethren. It's here. Then we're going to have a determination. God, I'm determined. I want to see your ways. But now I've got to prepare. Would you do that in the morning? If you didn't do it this morning, hey, I'm learning, all right? I told you I'm on a quest.
I've had personal devotions for years. But I tell you, they can get a little sloppy. At least mine can. Had family devotions. Fought it. Like a wild beast. But our devotional time, our preparation time can get a little sloppy. And God is reminding Moses here. He's saying, Moses, I'm not going to just haphazardly show you my ways. And so don't you just haphazardly think you can prepare to see my ways and it's going to happen for you. God is holy, brethren. God is holy.
Amen.
And for us to think that we can be lazy and that we can just kind of take a cavalier approach to knowing God's ways and God's just going to bless us anyway. Where did that thought come from? Not from the Bible. Amen, church? Amen. Hear me now. Hey, hear me. We have been lulled to sleep by apathy. To be made to believe that, well, we're God's children, and whether we prepare or not, whether we live for God or not, whether we're determined to do things for God or not, God's going to just bless us anyway. No, He's not. No, He's not. And so there's preparation to be made. And so when we come to church, you know, it's like somebody walked up and they said, hey, what'd you get out of church today? And the guy said, as much as I put into it. I got as much out of it as I put into it. See, the old timers used to believe that. But we've quit believing that. Remember when grandma told you, you get out of it what you put into it. Now, when my grandma said that to me, it was about doing chores around the house. Amen. If you do it halfway, it's going to be a half job. You're going to do it over. But can I tell you, life is that way. God has structured it that way. What I'm speaking to you about this morning, I pray to God, help me. God, help me to get it across. We're not going to get much out of what God wants us to have in this life if we don't put much into it. And that is called preparation. Somehow we think that we can just sit back and claim the blood of Jesus and raise our hand and say, well, I'm one of God's children, and God's just going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a big old giant blessing on us. God doesn't reward half-heartedness. Say amen with me now. Or oh me, say something. Amen, just let me know you're still out there. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let me show you the importance of preparation. Hold your place here, and I'm about through. I told you I was just going to give you some of it this morning. I knew that this kind of preaching, they ain't a whole lot of us that can take too much of this. You say, oh, preacher, that's easy preaching. Well, it might be easy to listen to, but it's not a whole lot easy giving it. Because God is just wounding my heart as I'm speaking to you. I told you last week, I don't even feel qualified to preach this. God's teaching me why I'm preaching to you. God has spoke to me. Where's your preparation at? Where's my priority at, son? Where's my priority in your life? If he's not Lord at all, he's not Lord at all. You understand that, right? I pray that you do. We think God's just going to come along for the ride. Brethren, I'm here to tell you, that's not the God of heaven. That's not the God of the Bible. And we have been so blindsided and deceived to think, well, God's just going to do it our way. No, God's going to do it His way. Turn, if you would, to 2 Chronicles. I want to show you some importance about preparation. I pray you'll turn there with me. Turn there with me, would you? 2 Chronicles chapter 14. I want to show you chapter 12, the importance of preparation. I think every person here that's ever, I think every, for example, every mother here would say, boy, do I understand the importance of preparation. If I just got up and just started trying to do things for my child or children at the moment instead of preparing ahead of time, things would never get done. I think every lady that works on a job or every man that works on a job, especially if you're in a leadership position and you don't plan out and prepare for that day, if you don't prepare for that project, it's going to be chaos. Very little is going to get accomplished without preparation. And this is what God is telling Moses. Moses, now don't you come up here without preparing. Be ready. Remember? Be ready. Present yourself. Don't you come up here empty-handed. Bring those tables of stone. I got something I want to say. And I want you to write it down. You see what's happening here? Don't you come up here haphazardly, right? Half-heartedly, and say, now, God, I want to see your way. Make me know your ways. No, that's not the way this happens. But we live in the society that thinks this is the way that we should get things from God. And it's not, brethren. And I've been just as guilty as others. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. I want to show you what God says about preparation. And I've got just a couple more things and I'm going to wrap up. And we'll pick up here, the Lord willing, next time, okay? Look, if you would. Now, here's what the Bible says about a man by the name of Rehoboam. No, Rehoboam was a character, all right? And the scripture says, and I'll have to really fight not to go off on this guy, because he's a character. But I'm going to try to stay focused on this. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. This Rehoboam, the Bible says, he did evil. Why? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Did you get that? You see what happens when people don't prepare their heart? Say, well, preacher, I have you to know I'm a good person. And I have no reason to doubt that. But good people can do bad stuff. Good people can get off course. Good people can end up in places that they should not be. Involved in activity they should not be involved in. Especially when, look at it again in verse number 14, I'm sorry, verse number 12 of chapter 14, especially when, I'm sorry, I'm getting all mixed up, especially when in verse number 14 of chapter 12, he prepared not his heart. See, being prepared is very important. That's why when God told Moses, hey, I want you to come up, he said, but now I want you to be ready. I want you to be prepared. Don't come flying into my presence and some half-hearted, you know, cavalier way saying, now, God, make all this happen in Jesus' name, amen. That's not preparation. God bless the service and everybody in it, amen. That's not preparation. God do a work in my heart and everybody else's. That's not preparation. Preparation takes time, takes commitment. Amen. Now, just in the event, turn over to chapter number, if you would, chapter number 19. Want to show you the flip side of this with a man by the name of Jehoshaphat. How would you like to have a son named Jehoshaphat? You say, well, I do. I'd like to meet you after the service. Oh, Jehoshaphat. You know what the Bible says about Jehoshaphat? It says a lot of stuff about him. But there's one thing that I'm very, very interested in. Notice, if you would, let's begin reading in verse number 1. Now, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. He returned into his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king, Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Now, Jehoshaphat wasn't perfect. I'm not either. You're not either. I'm not saying that if you prepare your heart before the Lord, I'm not saying that if you know the ways of the Lord, you'll be perfect, but I am saying this. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. Nevertheless, oh, Jehoshaphat, he did make some bad decisions. He did make some poor choices, but nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land. In other words, you tore down those altars that were built to false gods. Thou hast torn down, thou hast taken away the groves out of the land. Watch this now. And hast, what's our next word there, church? Prepared. Prepared thine heart to seek God. That's a good thing. And so there's determination. And I hope you're determined to know the ways of God. God, I want to know more about you. I want to know more of you. God, I just want to get to know you more intimately. I know that's what you want. I know that's what you want, Lord. But how am I going to do that? Well, you've got to be determined. I have to be determined. I can't just let anything stop me. Right? Amen. Because once the devil sees, hey, that old preacher down there, he's done gone crazy. He's done got serious about this. He's done got determined to know the ways of the Lord. You believe me when I tell you, if your pastor has ever needed your prayer, he needs it now, because he's coming against me. Amen. But see, he'll come against you too. He'll come against you, and I need to pray for you. Amen. We need to pray one for another. Because when we make a decision in our heart that we're determined to know the ways of God, the enemy's going to show up, brethren. And he wants to see how determined are you. What's it going to take to make you quit? What's it going to take to make you back off? And then there's preparation. Now let's go back and we'll close with this right here in Exodus 34. Go back there. Preparation. All right? Preparation. Be ready. Come up. Present yourself. Here's the final thought. I hope you wrote those two words down. You'll go home, read this, think about it. Am I determined? Now you have to be, I have to be. I have to be honest with myself. I'm going to use me. I have to be honest with myself. Am I determined? I'm determined. Your pastor's determined. I'm on a quest. I don't know where it's going to take me. I don't know how long it's going to last. I just know it's right. It's right for me. And so I just feel led of the Lord that what God is working in my heart, it would be more real to you to preach what God's working in my heart. You say, well, preacher, I'm not there yet. Okay. Would you at least ask God to help you get there? God, I want to be determined too. God, I want to get on that quest. I want to know more of your ways. I sincerely do, Lord. And God will begin to work in your heart. That's the determination. Then the preparation. See, the preparation helps you determine how strong the determination is. If there's little preparation, I guarantee you the preparation's weak. Or if there's little preparation, the determination's weak. Did you get that? Now, here's the third word, and this is where we'll close. I'm just going to get you to write this one down, and then we'll pick up here next week. Notice, if you would, in verse number 3. Here's where a lot of us, I can say for me, this is where I probably can get off track real easy right here. I'm a very busy person. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Lest anybody leave here thinking, well, you know, preacher, you're no busier than I am. I know that. I know that. You're busy too. The reason I said I'm a very busy person is because I know my schedule. I don't know yours. I do know this. Life has a way of making us busy. It just keeps coming. Is that right, brethren? Come on, is that right? I mean, life just keeps coming at you. It just does. It just keeps coming and coming. I mean, it's just like, boy, the sun rises, the sun shines, the sun sets, and the sun rises again. I mean, it just keeps coming. Notice what God told Moses. Moses said, I'm determined. And God said, okay, then prepare. And he said, okay. But God said, no, wait a minute. That preparation, there's a step to it that if you miss it, you're going to miss it all. And don't you miss it as we bring this to a close. Look at verse number 3. Latter part of verse 2 says, present thyself there to me at the top of the mount, and no man shall come with thee. I don't want anybody coming up with you. It's going to be me and you, Moses. You're going to have to say no to some people if you're going to say yes to me. Now, this is where your pastor has a hard time. And I think I'm speaking to a people that understand you have a hard time with this too. If I'm going to say yes to God in some ways, I'm going to have to say no to others first. I've got to, as Jorge W. Tozer said, I've got to take time to be holy. You see, if all I do is works, and I'm a works guy, okay? I am. Now, I don't mean to get to heaven. I'm talking about I'm a works guy. That's just kind of the way I'm wired. Do stuff. But what God is working in my heart is I want it to be more than works. I want to show you my ways. I want to show you that my ways can enhance your works. You see, I thought about this morning. Your best use of me is not when I'm talking to you about God, but when I'm talking to God about you. Did you understand what I just said? You do understand that. I hope that you do. See, that's the difference between God's ways and God's works. When I'm talking to you about God, I'm working. I'm ministering.
But when I'm talking to God about you, that's ways. That's knowing more about Him and interceding on your behalf. As a mate, your best usage with your mate is not when you're talking to your mate about God, it's when you're talking to God about your mate. See, this is where we get in a lot of trouble. We think it's our place to set our mate straight, and so we talk to them all the time, but what you should do is talk to God about them. You should talk to God about your children. Now, talk to your children about God. Amen. 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 But don't forget to talk to God about your children. Amen. And so this is what's happening here. This is what's happening. We're going to pick up here next week, and I call that isolation. So there's determination. There's preparation. But now there's got to be some isolation, maybe separation. You know, there's just got to be a time when God said, now don't you, listen, don't you bring anybody with you, he said. Don't you, look, he said, I don't want any man to be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor the herd feed before the mount. He said, listen, you got to set that work aside. Are you listening? You got to set that work aside. You have to set those responsibilities aside for a moment and give me priority. Now, this is where your pastor struggles. And so if there's a way that you could pray for me, you can pray right here. God help our pastor to turn aside more often. And learn what it is to say, I'm not going to be able to do that right now. Just not going to be able to do that right now. Years of ministry will condition you. You can stand to your feet. Years of ministry will condition you that when you see there's few people sitting in this sanctuary. I don't know how many. It's few. There's not in here. And so when you call and your name comes up, I guess I'm just going to throw this thing in the woods. I don't know. I'm thinking, well, there's a need. I need to talk to them. They're in trouble, and I'm their pastor, and I need to help them. And I've got to learn to put this aside so I can talk to God about you and still remain available to you. And I want to do that. And I've got to just confess, it's not just about that. There's other things. What's your thing? So are you determined? Would you answer that question this morning? Are you determined? Now, if you're not yet determined, don't say yes. This is between you and God, not me, you, and God. This is between you and God. Are you determined? I'm determined. I want to know more of the ways of God. Number two, are you prepared? Are you prepared? Is your heart prepared before the Lord? When you go before God, do you take the tables? Are you ready to write some stuff down? Are you prepared for God to give you something? Are you prepared for God to show you one of his ways? Is it just you and God? You have a God and I time? Could I encourage you, if you don't, to start in the morning? Would you go back in Moses' day and say, and hear God say, get up in the morning and be ready and bring those tables and present yourself. And don't bring anyone else with you. Don't bring any other cares. Don't bring the flocks. Just you come. And it's you and I have a conversation. That's a good starting place for what I'm talking to you about. It really is. And I realize what I've asked of you this morning is a very difficult thing. You can bow your head. You say, preacher, doesn't sound hard. Oh, please listen to me. It's difficult. As the pianist begins to play,